This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. More than 601,000 people died globally from COVID-19, more than 140,000 in the United States. There are more than 14.2 million confirmed infections worldwide, with more than 3.7 million in the U.S. and more than 2 million in Brazil. The two countries make up more than a third of the entire world's infections. The rising tide of new coronavirus continues to flood emergency rooms in parts of the United States. Health officials say the near-constant care COVID-19 patients require is overtaxing hospital staffs, who are also trying to treat more typical ER cases like chest pains, infections, and fractures. In Florida, hospitals say they're in desperate need of remdesivir, a medication that's been shown to shorten the average hospitalization time for coronavirus patients. But Governor Ron DeSantis says it's on the way. Florida reported more than 10,000 new confirmed cases and 90 additional deaths Saturday. European Union leaders have extended their summit for an extra day on Sunday in the hope they are finally closing in on a deal for an unprecedented 1.85 trillion euro EU budget and coronavirus recovery fund. Agreement appears still far off, but several key nations say negotiations are at least heading in the right direction despite anxieties that are running high after months of battling the pandemic. The 27 leaders are debating how the huge sum should be spent and what strings should be attached. Austria's chancellor says the talks are tough going, but adds that things are moving in the right direction. The EU executive has proposed a 750 billion euro fund of loans and grants to be sent to the EU countries hardest hit by the pandemic. More at voanews.com. This is VOA News. Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro said Saturday that lockdown measures used to curb the spread of the novel coronavirus kill and have suffocated the country's economy. Without salaries and jobs, people die, he said, referring to restrictions imposed by some states and municipalities. Lockdown kills, he added, saying that some politicians have suffocated the economy with forced curfews. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has made a sweeping call to end global inequalities that sparked this year's massive anti-racism protests and have been further exposed by the coronavirus pandemic. As he delivered the annual Nelson Mandela lecture, Guterres said that COVID-19 has revealed the fractures in the skeleton of the societies we have built. The UN chief called for a new model of global governance with inclusive and equal participation. He said we need the new global deal to ensure that all the wealth and opportunities are shared more broadly and fairly at international levels. A new model for global governance must be based on full, inclusive, and equal participation in global institutions. Guterres' address marked what would have been the birthday of former South African president and Nobel Peace Prize winner Nelson Mandela. Large areas of China battled damage caused by the worst flooding to hit the country in decades as a levee was repaired and more people were rescued. Many cities and provinces have now declared red alerts. A levee in one of China's largest freshwater lakes, located in the south of the country, was repaired Saturday after burst a week ago. According to state media, one of three dams in Pyongyang Lake burst due to heavy torrential rain and accumulated rain floodwater. Water gushed out of the opening, affecting more than 8,000 people in 15 villages nearby. The floods have also hurt economic activity in other parts of China, especially in construction and demand for steel and cement. U.S. President Donald Trump and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell have tried to make it clear that given the chance, they would push through a Supreme Court nominee should a vacancy occur before Election Day. The issue has taken on new immediacy with the disclosure Friday that Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is receiving chemotherapy. This is for a recurrence of cancer after four earlier bouts with the disease. The 87-year-old liberal, who apologized in 2016 for a pointed public criticism of Mr. Trump during his first campaign, says she has no plans to retire. The development has focused even more on what's at stake during this particular election, with the winner of the presidential election in the position to help shape the trajectory of the court for many years to come. Find more at voanews.com via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.